Hello, this is Atat Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, June 24th, 2025, coming to you from my home studio, and we start on the front page, Middle East. Iran launches attack on U.S. base. No injuries reported in Qatar attack tied to U.S. bombings. Articles by Dave Rising, John Gambrell, and Melanie Lidman, Associated Press, Dubai, United Arab Emirates. A Defense Department official is confirming a missile attack from Iran on a U.S. military base in Qatar, but says no casualties have been reported. The official said Monday that Al Udeid Air Base was attacked by short-range and medium-range ballistic missiles. The U.S. is continuing to monitor the situation, said the official. The confirmation came soon after Iran acknowledged the missile attacks, saying the attacks in Qatar matched the number of bombs dropped by the United States on its nuclear sites over the weekend, signaling its likely desire to de-escalate. Iran launched attacks Monday, retaliating for the American bombing of its nuclear sites and escalating tensions in the volatile region. Shortly after the attack, the Gulf nation of Bahrain, that is home to the U.S. 5th Fleet headquarters, temporarily suspended flights in its airspace, which is similar to what Qatar did shortly before it was hit. Qatar condemned the attack on Al Udeid Air Base attack, but said it successfully intercepted the missiles with no casualties reported. It said its airspace is now safe. Iran said the attack in Qatar matched the number of bombs dropped by the United States. That looks like it's a repeat. There's some errors in this. Sorry about that. Iran also said it targeted the base because it was outside of populated areas. Iran announced the attack on state television as martial music played. A caption on screen called it a mighty and successful response to America's aggression. The Ayn al-Assad base housing U.S. troops in western Iraq was also targeted, an Iraqi security official who was not authorized to comment publicly told the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. But Iran did not claim credit for that attack, which could have been carried out by militias. It was not immediately clear if there was damage to the base or any injuries. Qatar's foreign ministry said the attack by Iran's Revolutionary Guards was a flagrant violation of Qatar's sovereignty, its airspace, and international law. Al Udeid is also home to the Combined Air Operations Center, which provides command and control of air power across the region, as well as the 379th Air Expeditionary Wing, the largest expeditionary wing in the world. The retaliation came a day after the U.S. launched a surprise attack Sunday morning on three of Iran's nuclear sites. Just before the explosions, Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian wrote on the social platform X, "We neither initiated the war nor seeking it, but we will not leave invasion to the great Iran without answer." Israel expands war to include symbolic targets. Earlier in the day, Israel expanded its war against Iran to include targets associated with the country's struggling theocracy, striking the gate of a Tehran prison, notorious for holding political activists and hitting the headquarters of the military force that suppressed recent protests. As plumes of thick smoke rose over Tehran, Israel was attacked with yet another barrage of Iranian missiles and drones. The persistent fire has become a reality for civilians in both countries since Israel started the war to target Tehran's rapidly advancing nuclear program. On the 11th day of the conflict, Israel said it attacked regime targets and government repression bodies in the heart of Tehran, but Israeli officials insisted they did not seek the overthrow of Iran's government, their archenemy since the country's 1979 Islamic Revolution. The Israeli military warned Iranians that it would continue to attack military sites around Tehran over the coming days, as its focuses has shifted to symbolic targets as well. The military issued the warning on the social platform X, though Iranians are struggling to access the outside world as an internet shutdown has crippled the country. The latest strikes unfolded only hours after President Donald Trump openly raised the possibility himself after just a day earlier inserting America into the war with its unprecedented stealth bomber strike on 3 Iranian nuclear sites. If the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change? He asked on his Truth Social website. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt later described Trump as simply raising a question. However, suggestions of overthrowing the Iranian government drew new anger from Tehran, which insists it will not negotiate at this time and is threatening to retaliate directly against either American troops or interests in a Mideast already inflamed by the still raging Israel-Hamas war in the Gaza Strip. Tehran's strikes open new chapter of war. In the Tehran strikes, Israel blew open a gate at Evin prison. Iranian state television shared black and white surveillance footage of the strike at the facility known for holding dual nationals and Westerners, often used by Iran as bargaining chips in negotiations with the West. Evin also has specialized units for political prisoners run by the paramilitary all-volunteer Revolutionary Guard, which answers only to Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The facility is the target of both U.S. and European Union sanctions. There were no immediate reports of casualties in Iran or significant damage, though the semi-official Tasnim news agency said there had been a power cut reported outside of Tehran following the Israeli strikes. Iranian state television also aired footage it described as being shot inside Evin with prisoners under control inside the facility. However, the Washington-based Abdurrahman Burahmad Center for Human Rights in Iran expressed worry about the condition of prisoners there. Many families of current detainees have expressed deep concern about the safety and condition of their loved ones held inside the prison, it said. Earlier Monday, Iranian General Abdulrahim Mousavi, the chief of Joint Staff of Armed Forces, warned Washington that its strikes had given Iranian forces a free hand to act against U.S. interests and its army. Tens of thousands of American troops are based in the Middle East, many in locations within range of short-range Iranian missiles. The Israeli military also confirmed it struck roads around Iran's Fordo enrichment facility to obstruct access to the site. The underground site was one of those hit in Sunday's attack by the United States on 3 nuclear facilities. The Israeli military did not elaborate. The Iranian dictator will be punished with full force for attacking the Israeli home front, Israel's defense ministry said. According to an Israeli official familiar with the government's strategy, Israel is targeting these sites to put pressure on the Iranian administration, but is not actively seeking to topple it. The official spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss internal government deliberations. Nuclear fears mount after U.S. strikes. In Vienna, the head of the United Nations nuclear watchdog said he expected there to be heavy damage at the Fordo facility following Sunday's U.S. airstrike there with sophisticated bunker buster bombs. With the strike Sunday on Iranian nuclear sites, the United States inserted itself into Israel's war, prompting fears of a wider regional conflict. Iran said the U.S. had crossed a very big red line with its risky gambit to strike the 3 sites with missiles and 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs. Several Iranian officials, including Atomic Energy Organization of Iran spokesperson Behruz Kamalvandi, have claimed Iran removed nuclear material from targeted sites ahead of time. Rafael Grossi, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, told the agency's Board of Governors Monday that Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi informed him on June 13th that Iran would adopt special measures to protect nuclear equipment and materials. I indicated that any transfer of nuclear material from a safeguarded facility to another location in Iran must be declared, Grossi said, without saying whether Iran had responded. Iran presses on attacking Israel. Iran described its Monday attack on Israel as a new wave of its Operation True Promise 3, saying it was targeting the Israeli cities of Haifa and Tel Aviv, according to Iranian state television. Explosions were also heard in Jerusalem, possibly from air defense system in action. And Israel's Magen David Adom Emergency Rescue Service said there had been no reports of injuries. In Israel, at least 24 people have been killed and more than 1,000 wounded in the war. Israeli strikes on Iran would have killed at least 950 people and wounded 3,450 others, according to the Washington-based human rights activist. The group, which has provided detailed casualty figures from Iranian unrest, such as the protests surrounding the death of Mahsa Amini in 2022, said of those killed it identified 380 civilians and 253 security force personnel. Calls for de-escalation. The U.S. described its attack on the Fordo and Natanz enrichment facilities, as well as the Isfahan nuclear site, as a one-off to take out Iran's nuclear program. But Trump has warned of additional strikes if Tehran retaliates. Mousavi described the American attacks as violating Iran's sovereignty and being tantamount to invading the country, the state-run IRNA news agency reported. Russia is one of Iran's closest allies, and on Monday, President Vladimir Putin said after meeting in Moscow with Araghchi, the Iranian foreign minister, that they had explored how we can get out of today's situation. Putin called the Israeli and American attacks on Iran an absolutely unprovoked aggression. Iran, which insists its nuclear program is for civilian purposes only, previously agreed to limit its uranium enrichment and allow international inspectors access to its nuclear sites under a 2015 deal with the U.S., France, China, Russia, Britain, and Germany in exchange for sanctions relief. But after Trump pulled the U.S. unilaterally out of the deal during his first term, Iran began enriching uranium up to 60%, a short technical step away from weapons-grade levels of 90%, and restricting access to its nuclear facilities. We move on to the community section on the front page, Legends and Legacy. Black honorees challenge others to live lives of service. This article is by Tony Reed, Decatur. There's nothing that will jolt you awake after a delicious late brunch than a call to action and a public service announcement from a bunch of living legends. That turned out to be on the menu at the Decatur Legends Brunch hosted Sunday afternoon at the INC Spot Business Incubator in Decatur. The event paid tribute as part of the Juneteenth celebrations to some 16 African-American men and women lauded for their community contributions and lives of service to others. The nominees had grateful messages of thanks, but several of them had some more challenging things to say. Celebrated basketball and track coach and mentor of youth Richard Phillips, who bounced up on stage to the theme music from Shaft movie, wondered out loud about building something solid for the future. Looking out at an audience numbering more than 100, he asked, "How come we can't buy land and erect a building? A community center for the community," he asked. "I don't know why we can't do that. We got so many sharp people here. We got bankers, we got electricians, we got carpenters, we got bricklayers, we got iron workers. So can't we do that?" There was no immediate answer from his audience, but judging by the cheers and applause, he had clearly struck the right note of challenge and inspiration. He had been introduced by one of his sons, Philippe Phillips, himself a successful sports coach, who said, "The world needs people of vision like his father, who improve the lives of others, especially the vulnerable young." The son said he bumps into people all the time who tell him the mentoring care of his father turned their fate around. They say, "Hey, if it wasn't for your dad, I would be dead or be in prison somewhere." Just having that conversation with your dad, just having that listening ear, it made such a positive impact on so many kids. The constant theme from the legends, many of them now grandfathers and grandmothers, was very much centered on still looking forward and cultivating the future. They reminded their audience that the true treasures of life you leave behind are the way your existence makes the world a better place. Jeffrey Perkins, the founder of Caring Black Men, which reaches out to kids in need and offers them care and support, said the societal rat race for material possessions always ends the same way. You die, and you can't take it with you. There's a saying, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse, he said to laughter. What you need is a legacy. He said he was nevertheless grateful to accept the legend's accolade bestowed on him, but the tribute to his having passed this way that mattered most was the prospect of having inspired others to do what he did and still does. And so whatever I did for all these young men, I hope that they follow in our footsteps, he added. One member of that younger generation who says he is trying to follow in hot pursuit is George Smith III, a board member of the Greater Decatur Black Chamber of Commerce, who spoke at the opening of Sunday's ceremonies. We've got political leaders here, religious leaders, sports coaches, mentors of youth, individuals that really helped their community, movers and shakers that help get things done, he told the Herald and Review. The amount of work they've all done needs to be recognized, and they are pioneers who really paved the way. Now we've all got some big shoes that need to be filled to make sure that Decatur, this place we love, continues to grow and thrive. This was the first year for the Legends event, but Smith said, there are plenty more lives out there worth honoring. Yes, this was the first year, but I am positive it won't be the last, he said. The list of Sunday's honorees included Jeffrey Perkins, Walt Smith, Jim Taylor, Janelle Norman, Kent Phillips, Richard Phillips, John Earl Wilder, Thomas Walker, Jesse Bates, William Olivier, or Oliver rather, sorry, Evelyn Hood, Mildred Bond, Keith Anderson, Burl Stoner, Robert Crawford, and Bishop E.F. Gray. And a very large color photo here. Bishop E.F. Gray, Richard Phillips, John Earl Wilder, Robert Crawford, Jeffrey Perkins, William Oliver, and Thomas Walker take their place at the head table Sunday, June 22nd, at the Decatur Legends event at the INC Spot. They were among 16 African-American men and women celebrated for their contributions to the community. Photo credit to Scott Perry, Herald and Review. Some local here, public safety, man hit for not finding drugs and women, Decatur. A man is quoted as telling police his friends hit him with an axe after asking him to go out and get some drugs and women for him, but he had returned with neither. Sergeant Jamie Hagemeyer with the Decatur Police Department said officers had been called to the 700 block of North Edward Street around 8 a.m. Friday, where they found the 44-year-old victim. He had minor cuts and scrapes, but no significant wounds. The weapon was still present in the backyard of an abandoned business where both men had been staying. Hagemeyer said after talking with police, the victim decided he did not want to press charges because he said the assailant was still his friend. Decatur Blood Drive. The Red Cross and Long Creek United Methodist Church have joined to host a blood drive from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday, June 27th, in the Fellowship Hall at 6890 East Firehouse Road. Donors must be at least 17 years old and weigh more than 110 pounds. Photo identification is required. For more information, call 800-733-2767 or visit redcrossblood.org. The crime of the week, police seek help in solving robbery. Donette Beckett Decatur has this article. The Decatur Police Department is seeking the public's help in solving a burglary, this week's crime of the week. According to a news release issued by Decatur Police Officer Tucker Toole, officers responded in the early morning hours of June 17th to the report of burglary at a convenience store located at 1101 North Illinois Route 48 in Decatur. Upon arrival, officers discovered the front window adjacent to the main entrance had been removed, the report said. No individuals were located inside the premises. However, surveillance footage showed two suspects approaching the store from the southwest. One suspect used a large rock to break the window near the front door, allowing both individuals to enter, the business tool stated. A suspect stole approximately $140 worth of merchandise before fleeing northwest on foot. The suspects are described as black men, one wearing a dark blue jacket with a white and gray hood, black Puma sweatpants featuring a white ring around the left pant leg, and gray-white Jordan Retro 6 sneakers. He carried a blue backpack and wore a light-colored face mask and gloves. The second suspect was wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt, black pants, and black boots. He was carrying a white plastic bag and also wore a light-colored face mask and gloves. Photographs of the suspects can be viewed on the Macon County Crime Stoppers website under the Crime of the Week tab. Anyone with information regarding this burglary should call Crime Stoppers at 217-423-TIPS. Crime Stoppers will pay $500 or more for information that leads to an arrest on the Crime of the Week. Here's an interesting article, Emotional Fitness Thinking Positively by Dr. Barton Goldsmith. Keeping your thoughts moving in a positive direction not only makes you feel good in the moment, but also can reduce your sadness factor measurably. In addition, it can give you the one thing that we all need to keep our lives moving forward, hope. The more you employ positive thinking, the longer the effects last. There is a book that has been around for a long time by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale called The Power of Positive Thinking, which has helped make the world what it is today. It was one of the very first human potential books, and it has served millions. I strongly urge you to read it if you haven't already. It can only help. Even though the ideas contained in that book have been around for a very long time and become the theme for hundreds of seminars and other books, positive thinking isn't really that easy to accomplish, especially if your sadness has kept you from stretching yourself and stopped you from doing the things you might enjoy. If you have been unhappy for a while, you've been training your mind to accept your sadness and working your life around it. If you start to employ positive thinking, however, you can change the way your thoughts control your life as you take charge of what's going on inside your head. The first thing you need to do is understand this and believe that you can do something about your condition, reduce your sadness, and lead a happier life. The next step is to look at how you think. When it comes to socializing, do you feel anxious? If so, you may have a touch of social anxiety. Lots of people have social anxiety, and there is even medication available for it, but it's also possible to overcome all by yourself. Once you have identified the problem, the next step is to think about how you would feel if things were different. For example, if social anxiety is the issue, you would use positive thinking to imagine walking into a room and feeling confident. You are meeting and greeting people, engaging in conversations, and actually enjoying yourself. You have to think and imagine how you would behave if your sadness were not holding you back. Putting yourself in a new pair of psychological shoes is a great way to plan how you will respond in this case to new social interactions. The next step is to begin the process of changing your thinking from negative to positive. For example, would thoughts of being at a party usually make you feel nervous and uncomfortable? Part of the power of positive thinking is that you can change how you feel by just saying to yourself that you will feel good at the party and saying it over and over. This type of affirmation that will help change old thinking patterns. It takes about 30 repetitions to create a new habit, so you'll need to do this exercise about 30 times to start making changes. But the more you do it, the more positive your thinking will become. And before you know it, you'll be the life of the party. It's an article from The Nation page. Senate should keep the beauty in Big Beautiful Bill. And this article is by Fiona Tolenai. The Senate is debating President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill legislation that would rewrite our tax code. The bill does a lot, but beauty salons are most excited about the way the bill ends taxes on tips, both for stylists and for the salons that employ them. The Senate should keep those provisions in the bill and send it to the president's desk for his signature. One of Trump's most popular campaign promises last year was his proposal to end taxation of tips. Millions of tipped workers rallied to this message. Millions of other people also supported the idea as a means of promoting tax fairness for working Americans. The Big Beautiful Bill would make this exciting promise a reality. Its no tax on tips proposal would have a significant effect on small businesses, helping to grow and create more jobs. The proposal would ensure that the IRS treats tips at hair salons the same as it treats tips at restaurants. Currently, hair salons and barbershops are required to cover payroll taxes on tips to their employees, even though the salon never receives the actual tip income. This makes no sense, and it has a major effect on small businesses that must cover the cost from their cash flow. We love what we do, and we appreciate it when people tip our stylists, but those tips ultimately end up costing us money. A $20 tip with swipe fees leads to a $2 increase in our tax bill at the end of the quarter. This adds up quickly, and the added cost increases reduces our ability to hire and invest. A bipartisan Congress 30 years ago recognized this was a problem for restaurants because servers depend heavily on tips for the majority of their income. Congress passed a tax bill that gave a tax credit to restaurants to offset their payroll tax on tips. This ensured that Social Security and Medicare stayed fully funded while also helping restaurants hire and expand. The tax bill was a success, and the restaurant business remains strong 30 years later. Hairstylists and barbers are just as dependent on tips as servers. Yet beauty industry employees have received no tax break from Congress. Our businesses are small, like most hair salons and barbershops, and every dollar counts. Our tax fairness issue may seem small in the context of trillion-dollar legislation, but it will have a significant effect on our ability to serve our communities. It would allow us to keep more money in our communities and stimulate our economies rather than sending it off to Washington. Recent years have been difficult for many industries, but particularly for barbershops and hair salons. During the pandemic, the worst of the pandemic, up to half of all men stopped going to their barber. After the pandemic, we were hit with the worst inflation in a generation. Meanwhile, we had to pay taxes on income we never received. Now relief is almost here. We need the Senate to get the bill across the finish line. Many great ideas are in the Big Beautiful Bill, and the Senate debate will be spirited. Our message to senators is this: as you debate the merits of the legislation, remember the tens of thousands of small businesses in the beauty industry and keep the beauty industry in the Big Beautiful Bill. Tolenai owns Vanity Heights Salon in Houston, Texas. She wrote this article for InsideSources.com. And that brings us to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour.